Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Coaches Network.
Hey guys, you're now listening to the Coaches Network podcast, a podcast aimed at anyone who's passionate about athlete, talent, and personal development. My name's Coach Yas, and I'm a UEFA licensed football coach developer, and content creator. I'll be sitting down with a range of guests to discuss their journeys, their life lessons, and how you can make an impact. Enjoy. Hey guys, you're now listening to the Coaches Network podcast, a podcast aimed at anyone who's passionate about athlete, talent, and personal development. My name's Coach Yas, and I'm a UEFA licensed football coach developer, and content creator. I'll be sitting down with a range of guests to discuss their journeys, their life lessons, and how you can make an impact. Enjoy. Right, guys, welcome back to the Coaches Network. My name's Coach Yas, and today I've got a very special guest with me. My guest today is Rodri Jones. Good afternoon, Rodri. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm at home at the minute. I've been working with clients, but my kids are at school, so it's quite quiet at the minute. I'm at home.
Awesome, Roger. Just you know, you talked about working with your clients. Just so that I guess the listeners and viewers know a bit of what you do. Could you just explain in what capacity you're working with clients, and maybe give us a bit of a backdrop as to how you ended up getting into that position?
Yeah, basically, I work with people on their mind fitness. There's a lot of talk about mental health at the minute. I've suffered with ill mental health over the years. Probably over the last 5-6 years, I really kind of committed myself to really understanding my own mind through a process of, I'd say, like studying, practicing, and contemplating. All three kind of feed into each other, really. And then through my own understandings, I just came to understand how many people misidentify with the mind. So when we look at the rise of mental health statistics, it's what happens is that people go through childhood and the schooling not really understanding about the voice in the head and how our bodies feed into our minds. That's why I call it mind bodies, because you know the body's always sending messages up to the mind. So they're kind of, it works in a circular kind of process. And I do think what happens is that you have people then hit a brick wall where they really kind of tackle the issue, which was the case for me. But for me, it was like, well, what about if you just develop people's mind fitness in the first place? So they don't go through their life living a life of being in a mind-made prison. And when I say mind-made prison, it's a self-made mind prison, because once you realize how the mind works, it gives you a chance to maybe take control of it, really.
But, you know, you talked there obviously about, you know, really understanding the mind and how it affects the body. What piqued your interest in this area of life, if you like? You know, obviously, you know, your journey must have started from somewhere, you know, being an ex-pro yourself. Talk us a little bit about that journey. Maybe how did you first come into, you know, becoming a professional footballer, and you know, just, you know, without maybe going into too much detail, just tell us a little bit about that journey and how you've been impacted.
Yeah, I think I've always been curious about the mind. I think probably to the extent because I've always had a busy mind. So I've always, even when I was a child, I was kind of I was always wondering about the bigger picture in life. And then I kind of went down the football route. I was, you know, I was fortunate. I was quite talented and got scouted by a lot of clubs when I was younger and ended up at Man U, which is a club of my dreams. So then that curiosity about the mind kind of took a backseat, you know, is in the dressroom culture. But even then I was kind of looking around at like guys who on paper had all the money and all that we're told that we should get in life to be happy, and I wasn't convinced that people were happier than it's always like throwing me a little bit where you like look at someone and you think like, guys, probably got three times as much money in the bank, but he doesn't seem to be happier than someone who's got half. So I think it's always like, there's nothing good or bad with money. It's all about your relationship to it. I mean, yeah, if you've, money can bring you access to more resources in life, but that doesn't necessarily fill a sense of psychological kind of lack. I mean, and I do think with football as well, I mean, it's a weird thing, really. I was an overthinker. And yet I was like, well, I never chose to be an overthinker. I remember there's a guy on our football team, a lad called Jimmy Davis in my youth team at United. And we got on really well, but we were entirely different. He was kind of the player, didn't really have a busy mind. He didn't really think too much. And, you know, if he'd had a bad performance, he'd probably have forgotten it by the time he'd gone back to the dressing room. I'd be like, thinking about it for the next weekend. I thought you had to like suffer. If you've had a bad performance, it was a responsibility for you to suffer for the next weekend. And now I realize like you're just suffering for nothing really. So it was always a case of that I felt when I was a professional, this area wasn't really given enough attention. You know what? I think you'd ask any footballer, yeah, you can do all the strength conditioning work and can do all the tactical work and all the training. But when people say like 90% of life, probably, you know, it's difficult to put statistics on something, but everything you see in life goes through the filter of your own mind. And yet how much time do we work on that? I mean, So for me, it was probably indicative of the time where focus wasn't given to this area as much. I mean, you know, when I had my mental health issues, it was like there was not the awareness there is now. It was kind of, I was just fortunate that maybe I've got that curiosity and probably that fear of missing out that I didn't want to, like, I still wanted to stay around. I just think that, well, what you have, football doesn't cause mental health issues, but because it's such a challenging environment that it can highlight issues in yourself that that maybe have kind of been hidden and a little bit over the years. And I feel like, and what you do have maybe in football as well, it's just, I work in TV as well, it's just, it maybe attracts people who lead with ego a little bit more, just by the nature of the game. And that's why I think a lot of footballers as well struggle with this sense of identity, because when you've wrapped up your identity as being the footballer or the athlete for so many years, one, it can be a drop for those people who get released from academies. And then it can be a drop off for those who, when their careers finish really, and then they're kind of living life then on past memories a little bit. And I just feel like, it's an area that's kind of, to be honest, when I finished football, I had no interest in staying in the game in any capacity. I felt like football had formed so much of my identity for so long that I felt like I just needed to live and go and experience other stuff in life, which I have done, working as a television director, doing documentaries and stuff. But then, you know, I've been through a lot of things, like I had to retire quite early from football. I suffered from depression when I was playing, and I think maybe I've got responsibility in terms of, yeah, I've got a few certificates of stuff I've done, but I don't think you can put certificates on someone's experience. And maybe it's just I've got certain attributes or certain features to my character that maybe, you know, serves me well in this area. So I feel like I feel like I could maybe be of service, and that's what I've kind of been doing really.
And speaking of service, you know, you're working currently as a mind fitness coach, as you label it. What does that actually look like?
Well, it's not about being perfect. Like, I think people think like mind fitness is going to be like someone who's like transcended being human. But for me, it's be embracing all your humanity. Like, we all carry stuff in life that has an impact on us through childhood. We're just the way our brains work. You know, we're always scanning unconsciously for signs of survival in our environment, and we're trying to make predictions about life in terms of based on our memories and stuff. And so we're always that's when someone says like, trying to live in the here now, it's like it can be feel like this new agey kind of slogan. But if you strip it down, you've got no choice but to do that. But our mind is trying to pull us in different directions. So in a way, our mind is just, our brains are, we're survival based creatures. We're just, what you know, we're designed to want to survive if you strip it down. But that doesn't always mean it's about thriving. It's a weird thing, really. And I feel like what happens as well is that when I say mind body, because the body, you know, the our nervous systems are, you know, it's all connected to the brain. So there's bits where you can just, it's about knowing yourself in terms of you can be able to regulate your system, the stuff like breath work. I mean, meditating, if you stripped away all the connotations it's got with any religion background, but if you look at actually just the scientific benefits of just tuning in and just seeing what's happening in your mind, the patterns and the patterns of thought, then no one would not do it. But I think sometimes we wait till we've got all the science to prove, but sometimes you go like, well, be your own science, be like, trust, like tap into how you're feeling. And we're not putting labels on stuff, because for years, I think because I was so hard on myself for so many years, I've probably developed a high degree of self-awareness, but that self-awareness now is more about being curious about what's going on and why you're repeating some of the patterns. Why are some people in your life triggering you more than others? Because some people will go around saying, oh, well, that person's made me angry. I'm like, well, don't get me wrong, you know, some people are going to trigger you more than others, but that person hasn't gone in your head and pushed a button and made you angrier. So you've got to really be careful about the language you use sometimes, because the language people use gives you a little insight in how they're kind of operating. And sometimes it just takes someone just to throw a light on your blind spot. I mean, my answers are not someone else's answers. So that's a big thing for me, is like, it's like exploring together. And, you know, for me, it's like, what do you want to do? Do you want to get to the end of your life and look back and go, I wish I hadn't worried, I wish I hadn't done this, wish I hadn't done that. Well, that time's gone, you know. It's like there's no point in regretting stuff in life. Yeah, you can learn. The learning is something that you can take on with you. But the stuff that's happened in your life happened because it didn't happen. It would never have happened in any other way, because that's what happened. So when a lot of people are going, I wish I hadn't done that, I'm like, well, yeah, take the learning, but take away the self-criticism and stuff, because energetically it's just gonna bog you down a little bit. And you know how it is, like, you know, when you speak to someone and you're like, yeah, you can see how they're tripping themselves up, but you don't want to tell them how they're tripping themselves up, because people get defensive, don't they? If you go to someone, and I think the more you build up rapport with someone, or you've built up a relationship, you can be a bit more direct because they trust you and stuff. But people always wanted to feel psychologically safe, people always wanted to feel loved, and people always feel like they want to feel matter, like they matter. But I'm like, yeah, great, but you've got to learn to love yourself first and foremost, you know. Like, unless you really really take responsibility for that, then you're always at the whim of stuff that happens in life, in terms of like someone will say something the wrong way and then your day's gone, kind of thing. And it's just like it's just the way I look at it, it's like if you've been skiing down the same pathway in your mind for so many years, it might take someone just to go like, yeah, let's just, there's another path down there. Let's explore that way. It's like interrupting those patterns of thought that you have, you know, because the way I explain it, like I used to like, you know, you, let's say you come up to like a rabbit hole or something, I'd be like, I jump down that rabbit hole of thinking and adding stuff, and you're building up layers of thinking that, and then you're just dragging yourself down. And most of it is in your own imagination, you know. So now I kind of like, you know, I can see the rabbit hole far away and go, and I can decide whether to, how I'm going to respond. I'm not going to go down there. I mean, one thing I used to do for a while is because you know, with that voice in the head, a lot of it is just like, it's trying to keep you alive. And so it's a lot of it's like, not many people say that voice in the head has been like really giving me, like has been really applauding me. Most of it's critical, most of it's self-critical. So it's like, well, if your friend spoke to you like that, you'd tell him where to go, but we're like little, little obedient puppies with that voice in our head. So sometimes it's like, for me, I kind of lost interest in that voice in the head. You know, it's like, it's tuning into that felt experience where you're like, yeah, the intuition a little bit, where you're like, yeah, that this is, I'm going to go with that. But a lot of that comes from just being able to self-reflect, really. But yeah, it's something I feel like is, it's different for each individual. You know, let's phrase, something might trigger you that would never trigger me. And it's, but for me, it's about being self-aware and taking full responsibility. I remember there's a quote that sticks in my head. It was a guy called Richard Feynman. He was a physicist, and he says, like, the first principle is don't fool yourself, and you're the easiest person to fool. And I feel like, you know, if you've got those people who are like the victim side of life, where they always look, they'll make excuses and they always say, oh, well, this caused this, and they're always trying to pull other people down to make themselves feel better. It's very difficult to work with those people, because you have to have an element of curiosity, have an element of openness to be able to, one, just consider life differently. That's what I say, you know, when people are quick to go like, look for prescriptions, like how to be more confident, how to be more mentally healthy, or whatever you want to call it. But it's like, well, the mind's a little bit more nuanced than that. You know, you can have like a how to in terms of like how to change a tire on a car, but the mind's a little bit, you know, obviously there's maybe common features to everyone's mind in terms of, but within that, we're all different. So it's like, I think like when people are always asking for how-tos, I'm like, no one can find your own answers for you. It's like that takes experience of maybe. So when someone says like, if I've got a youngster working with me, it's a difficult balance, isn't it, with youngsters? Because you learn a lot from your mistakes. You learn more from a mistake than someone telling you about that mistake. But what I'm passionate about is not that suffering unnecessarily, you know. It's like that adding layers to stuff that doesn't need to be there, and is just taking you away from feeling healthy and enjoying life, really. As far as we know, we've got like this, we're on this earth for this short period of time. Like, it's a decision not to enjoy it, you know, and a lot of it is stripping away those bits, the voice in the head, or always looking for authority figures. And it reaches a point where you like got to say, well, not one person has got the answer in the world. It's not like you reach a point in your life where someone gives you a book and goes, there you go, those are the answers for life. Yeah, you have different philosophies, you have different, there's a lot of noise out there. So you've got to trust yourself as well. And part of that, yeah, you're gonna make stuff that you like, do stuff that you like, yeah, that maybe didn't work with me, but take away the beating up. Like, it's cute. I used to think, walk around on this earth thinking like, everyone else seems to have it sorted. Like, there must be something wrong with me. So then when I opened up a couple of years ago, it was like an eye opener. I'd have people coming up to me and going, no, I felt the same about you. I thought you were the person who had it all worked out. So suddenly you realize,
it just comes to that piece of never really judging a book by its cover. And it's funny. My wife has got all these different sayings that she has for me. And she goes, it all stemmed back to her grandma, really. She goes, oh, my grandma taught me this. My grandma taught me that. And my grandma always said that, you know, if you look at someone else and you want all the good, then you've got to be willing to accept all the bad. And the bad is the things that you might not see. So just bear that in mind if you're looking over at someone else and saying, oh, I wish I had what they had. Okay, just be careful what you wish for, because you might get a whole lot of things that you're not aware of. And I think that kind of just really, you know, resonates with me on the last piece that you said there. And I guess, you know, some of the things that you're talking about is about really going through an experience, but not just going through the experience, but taking the time to reflect and pull away the key bits from it. So I guess in that process, you know, what would be some of the questions that you maybe challenge people to kind of ask themselves to kind of think about the best way to draw from those experiences, if you like? And, you know, a lot of this, you talk about your mind-body system. How do we get to the point where we can truly master that connection, truly understand? And something you touched on briefly a little while ago was the idea of, we want to think about it, but what are we actually trying to think of? Is it just, are we thinking about what actually happened in the moment? Are we thinking about how we felt in the moment? Are we coming to terms with the fact that this is how we felt and it's okay to feel this way, but now that we're understanding that this is what we felt, we can start to unpack that further? So I guess from that perspective, I'm just curious from your side, what questions you maybe would start to consider asking yourself in certain moments to really start to unpack it, if you like.
Yeah, for me, the most important thing is, what can I learn in this situation? It's like, before your mind starts, you know, like your mind will go, I'm always doing this, I'm always, like, the more you understand the mind, that voice in the head that I'd say most people live with, it's been aware of that voice, I think, in terms of, you know, when you said about feeling, it's, I'd say men generally, they tune in less to the body, to be honest.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In terms of that feeling, and what's that feeling in your body energetically, without putting a label on it, we're quick to go, oh, I feel sad, I feel this and that, but those are what if you strip down, what are those feelings before you put labels on them?
Is it not important to put a label on it at some point, so that you can kind of associate that feeling with this, and being very careful that you don't just stick it with a label that's got a generic definition or a dictionary definition, if you like, but actually how you define it. So as an example, your perceived happiness and my perceived happiness are two different things.
Yeah.
Your perceived sadness likewise would be very different. You know, our perceived frustration and enjoyment or whatever those things might be, obviously personal to us, obviously there is a generic definition that we can kind of lean on. But I think, is it not maybe attaching labels, but understanding exactly what those labels mean to us as individuals maybe?
Yeah, to a degree. Like you say, it's different for each individual. But like you said, a lot of it comes from that awareness, because unless you, when I say like take time to self-reflect, it doesn't mean like taking a weekend to go on a silent retreat or anything. It's just moment to moment. It's like learning to monitor yourself in terms of like monitoring. Am I doing stuff here? Am I responding in situations that in ways that serve me or take or detract? And like I say, that is different for each individual. I feel like you have a feeling sometimes in life. I mean, you have a feeling of, is this for me or is this, it isn't for me? And your heart, your head can kind of always overrule, you know. It's like you can always justify, oh, well, I should be doing this and I'll be doing this. It's awareness of that's what you're doing. I think once you're aware of and you're not just living on autopilot, so it's like, is your mind kind of in control of you, or are you aware of what's going on? And like I say, not beating yourself up about anything. It's like, and the stuff you're feeling and the stuff that you're thinking, is everyone else feels those same feelings and same thoughts you've had, but it's different for each individual. Like, let's say your past experience is different for me, like stuff maybe your parents said to you were different to me. But I feel like it's just being hard on yourself and I think what, like, when I say meditating is not, like, it gets built up, and it was probably the most important thing for me, and to be able to just see the patterns of things rather than looking at the content so much. If you start looking at the content too much, then you can start, like you say, going down this rabbit hole. But what meditation helped was, like, just gives you a little bit more time to be able to, so when something happens in life, it's that moment to be able to just to respond rather than react. So when people think like that, it's like, what you just, it's going through, like, being like what's the best way to describe it? It's for instance, like, people say anger might be what you want to might be appropriate for a situation, but you can still meditate and be angry at someone, but it's controlled anger. You know, you're aware of that's what's going on there. And instead of, you have someone who's just flown off the handle, and they've, and then afterwards they go, oh, what did I do that for? And I was totally out of control. And then, you know, they maybe made situations worse. So I think what maybe meditating helps is in being able to develop that skill. But then you might have someone who can just be more self-aware because they're naturally wired to be able to monitor themselves throughout the day. And like you say, there's no, in society, there's no good or bad. All these labels that we put on stuff, they're totally subjective, you know. It's but we're quick to like this voice of authority in our head, and it's based on what it's really just like being honest with self, you know, because like you say, I mean, I've probably been fortunate in terms of that I have always been honest with myself in terms, but the problem was I used to beat myself up, you know. So it was like, I don't think that really serves anyone any good, that kind of, like, when someone says I've wrecked my life, and that, like, well, let's unpack that, you know. Is it possible to wreck your life? Like, it's choice of words we put on things, but they're not true. So what I used to do, the big thing for me when I, about 4 or 5 years ago, where I hit it like a dead end, I was kind of, well, okay, this beating myself up isn't doing me any good. Let's be a bit more curious. Let's be a bit more gentle. And what I'd do is, like, in situations, like, I'd look, right, what's objectively true in this situation? And then you see what your mind's adding to it. So let's say your boss has shouted at you. Okay, so you're obviously going to feel a reaction to that, but the truth in that situation is your boss has shouted at you. Then your mind will add stuff like, I'm always letting my boss down, or people always shout at me, I'm no good. That's what I'm saying. It's like, once you're going down that rabbit hole, then your whole day might be gone. You might be like 2 days later. For some people, that can be 30 years later. You know, something can happen 30 years later, and it's guiding the whole life. Now what can happen is, you could have someone like who's a child, right, who's told, you're no good, okay? And that drives them to be successful externally in a career. But the drive is still coming from this feeling of having to prove someone wrong, of not feeling good enough. Now, for me, it's like, well, Once you like unpack that and look at the stories you're telling yourself and clear that way, that's not going to take away your drive or your edge. Like, I'd say people who've got that drive or edge, that's just part of who you are, but it takes away the unnecessary stuff around it. And then you're free to kind of play the game instead of, like, doing stuff to prove others wrong, because energetically it's not as fulfilling as being able to say, well, I'm doing what I'm doing in life. It's a full of expression of who I am. Yeah, in terms, yeah, sometimes things are not going to go as you'd ideally like it. Or, you know, that's life, isn't it? So everyone's going to have their own stuff thrown at them. But it's like all kinds of like suffering or is a resistance to what is happening right now. Like, and if you think about it, it's like, it might be raining. You go, why isn't it raining now? It's like, well, it's raining. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like everything is like, oh, well, once you strip that down, it's not about being perfect. It's just about, like, not being your worst enemy in a way, you know. And then, yeah, some people have got, like, busier minds than others, and the same as some people are like stronger physically than others in terms of they don't need to go to the gym and do as much weights because they just got natural strength. And we're all wired differently, and it's it can be a lifetime's work for some people just working out who they are. You know, you said that there was one thing you said that about labeling, you know, judging yourself against other people. I said, well, if you want to judge yourself against other people, don't judge yourself against the version of them that you see, the best version they put in front of you, the version you see on social media. For you to really truly want to be that person, you'd have to be in their pocket 24/7 for a long time. And only then could you make a judgment about, do you really want to be that person? Because we always see the good bits, don't we? And I think everyone's got stuff going on with them, and you can only be yourself at the end of the day. So it's just like truly, truly embracing that.
100%. I totally agree with that. I guess, you know, off the back of that then, what are some of the key questions that you maybe ask yourself to identify who you are and what you're maybe comfortable with and the things that make you uncomfortable? Because at the end of the day, you know, in order for us to develop and really master our minds, if you like, we need to understand those things. So what questions, or is there any particular steps that you would take to help you, if you had like a process, it might be 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 steps, if you like, what are some of the steps that you take to kind of help develop that clarity of mind and self, if you like?
I mean, the main question I'd ask is, who am I? In terms of, when you say, who am I, is when someone ordinary says, oh, this is my job. So yeah, but if you have always worked in that job, no. So what were you before then? I'm a husband or a wife or a son. It's like, it's a stripping away of these identities we give ourselves. It's something that we do since childhood. And it's something you do to kind of, to survive in the world. We all have identities, you know. When people talk about getting rid of the ego, which is, you know, the story of us, so to speak. So this is a story of us. It's something you do because you kind of to survive socially. It's your way of getting through in the world. But I think people hold so tightly to that story they have of themselves that anything that goes against that story, or you, so someone gets a sack, okay, from work, and then suddenly they realize they've built up so much of who they are with that role. And not to say if you get the sack, of course everyone's going to have that feel of disappointment and stuff, but it can be lessened by not attaching so much to it. For instance, you know, like I said about my identity as a footballer and as a TV director, but for me they're just expressions of who I am. You know, it's not, there's a difference between being like, let's say, Rodri the footballer and Rodri the person who plays football. It's like very subtle, but you're just disattaching from being labeled as such. I mean, in terms of steps, honestly, the first step for me is just being able to develop that self-awareness, that honesty and the curiosity to just be able to monitor yourself. And you have to be honest because, like I said, you're so easy to fool yourself. You know, it's like you can go in a situation and go, ah, oh, that person does this, does that, does. And I'm like, well, yeah, obviously maybe that person doesn't resonate with you, but all you can take responsibility is for how you react to that. Like if you've got a boss who's on you all day, all you can do is stand up for who you are, or you have to change your situation. You know, is it? But to expect, I think people are quick to want other people to change, and I'm like, well, why should they change? You know, it's not up to you to say to people to change. You know, it's like be the change you want to be. I think that's a term that's used, and it's really true, because that's all you've ultimately got control of in life. You can't control other people. You go around, I think with the instance, you're trying to control everyone around you to be exactly how you think they should be. I'm like, all the best of that, you know. It's like, it doesn't mean like you just accept everything everyone else does around you. If you're in a situation that's not serving you well, you have to, you know, you have to do something about it. Or if you're putting up with that situation, then you have to ask yourself, what is it about me that's not been able to change my situation? It always ends up with you, but it always ends up with you in a way that, don't be self up about it, because everyone is going through their own little things. You know, it's like, so it's very difficult sometimes to, like, it's so individual to each person, isn't it? Like, our minds are so, they're all very different. Yeah, maybe there's certain similarities, and you know, the meditating can help, but I'd say self-awareness is the key, and that comes from maybe just moments of stillness. Just, it doesn't have to be long. It's just because you fill your life with distractions all day long, but if you've got that feel of like something, you know, you don't feel worthy or don't feel loved, no amount of Netflix is gonna fill that hole. I mean, I can talk openly about this because whenever I talk about stuff, I've experienced stuff. Of course, everyone's experiences are different, but I felt that emptiness of, oh, if only I get there, then I'll be okay. And I get to that point and achieving externally now, different points, and then you're like, yeah, it's close, but it's still that sense of, yeah, something else. And I think that answer can only come from like stripping away of the stuff inside you that's holding you back.
Oh, definitely. It's quite interesting to maybe get your perspectives on, you know, firstly your journey and where you see that that mental fitness piece, more specifically the types of questions, maybe some of the steps you can kind of take to kind of develop a better clarity with where your mental fitness is at, firstly your relationship with that, and the way that makes you then feel, and how you in the, not only how you perceive yourself, but how you want others to perceive you. I'm conscious of time now, and, you know, as we start to wind down, is there somewhere that, you know, if the listeners maybe want to get a bit more insight around some of the stuff that you do and the work that you do in this space, is there somewhere they can maybe get in touch with you to kind of either delve deeper into the conversation that we've had, or beyond?
Yeah, well, I've got a website, so that's www.rodryjones.co.uk. The reason I called it my own name, honestly, it's not that, and I put a picture of myself on the website, so people are looking at that thinking, oh, well, he's called it his own name. Honestly, it's because I probably didn't live to what I was about for so many years. I lived someone else's life and who I should be, so that's why I've called it me, basically. But yeah, what I do is, if someone's intrigued to find out more, is I just offer just a free call, just a chat, and see if I'm the right fit for that person. Because like everything in life, you resonate with some people more than others. And for me, it's not about me. You know, coming to this space, the big thing for me was like, well, yeah, you might have these skills, and you know, maybe the temperament that I've got is just maybe suited to this work. But ultimately, it's about I know how it feels when you it feels like your mind's in charge of you a little bit, and you don't feel free. So that for me is the main thing, that someone, whether that be with me or someone else, just feels like they come out of that experience seeing life a little bit differently, you know, because we can all get in our, we all have our own little blind spots, and sometimes it just takes someone just to be able to shine a light in that direction, and then it's down to you, you know. It's no one else can do that work, no one else can find that answer, but someone else maybe able to throw the questions and practices. For me, like, practices are like, don't get me wrong, like, you know, I'll meditate sometimes, but I don't do a practice nowadays. It's more like I see it as like sometimes as stabilizers on a bike, you know, you're kind of it can help you in terms of that regard. And there might be a certain point where you just want to get rid of, not use any practices and be able to just, you know, ride your bike on two wheels and through life. But yeah, for some people, the main thing for me was like I felt like I was on a path that I'd feel sometimes it's a very, very powerful method sometimes, you know, for giving sense of perspective. I'll look at when I'm on my deathbed, whatever, and I'll ask myself, does this matter, And am I living in accordance to what I'd want to look back on? And it's very difficult to do that in the heat of the moment because you're in the thick of it. I've got two young kids and everyone's busy, aren't they? But for me, when you do that, it kind of snaps you straight. It can snap you straight back to what's matter, you know, because we all like fill our lives with little worries and stuff. And sometimes it takes an epiphany in someone's life, whether a family member gets ill or whatever it is. And I'm like, well, don't wait for that moment. It's like, you know, our time on this earth is what it is. And you just try and make the best of it. And you don't really, and try and take your mind out of like not limiting your enjoyment really. And for me, anything in life, you know, the stuff that you do in life is the jobs that you do. Yeah, you want to enjoy it. If you're going to spend so much of your time in life doing these different jobs, you want to do something you enjoy. I know not everyone is in that position where they can really dictate in that regard. But honestly, you know, like, you know, I work in TV and I'm doing this now, football, but my CV is not what I'm going to look back on when all said and done. I'm going to look back as like, did I enjoy life? Was I loved? Did I love others? But most importantly, like, did I love myself? And for a lot of people, that can be very, very difficult because they think that they're undeserving or there's something wrong with them and everyone else got worked out. But I'd say, like, wake up, because everyone carries something with them. But some people build up more layers than others. Now, for people who've got a lot, you know, built up more layers, I'm not a therapist and I know where my boundaries are in terms of saying, listen, you know, you might need to go someone that I haven't got the speciality in working with, but I'm more with those people who just sense that they're just don't feel confident or just stuff that's holding them back really. And it's just, yeah, that's where I kind of come in really, because there's so many great services out there in terms of therapists and like mental health first aid, but having been down in the depth of despair myself, I'm like, I wouldn't wish that upon anyone. So for me, it's just like, it's, you don't want to be going down that spiral, you know. It's like for me, it's like those people who got their head above water but they're just tripping themselves up, rather as opposed to those who are down in the depth of the ocean. And you know, they just need to get, I'm not saying they wouldn't benefit from working with me, but first of all, you need to get your head above the water and then take it from there.
Awesome. Well, look, Roger, it's been a pleasure, you know, having a conversation with you this afternoon. I'm sure the listeners and viewers will probably tap into this, and you know, I'm sure there'll be plenty of things they can kind of take away from themselves off the back of your own journey. So I just want to take a moment to say thank you again for your time today. I've really enjoyed it and hope you have too.
No, thanks for having me on. I could geek out on this all day.
Well, there you have it, guys. Another episode of the Coaches Network podcast, where our aim is to bring the world of athlete, talent, and personal development together to just one platform. And you can help us with that mission right now by sharing this episode or any of your favorite episodes with everyone that you can think of. You can tag us in those mentions as well on Instagram at the Coaches Network or on Twitter at the Coaches Net. We look forward to hearing from you. Let us know what you thought about today's episode. And until next time, guys, take care.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.